Good morning. Let's pray, shall we? Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we pray that as we open your word this morning, that we will allow your Spirit to talk to our hearts and convict us. May we be accepting of the message you would want us to learn for this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to take you back to our scripture reading for this morning in Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 1, it begins with a very simple statement. Judge not that you be not judged. Here in these first few words, we are given a very, very clear command. Don't judge. Don't judge. And in the same text, we are also given the reason why. That ye be not judged. And you know, when you stop and think about it, it's very good advice. For how quickly we all can be at judging. Jumping to conclusions about having the facts. You know, it's always important to have facts. For without them, we can jump to a whole pile of ideas that may prove to be very wrong. I remember it was a Friday night. I was in Warburton and had to make a quick phone call home to my mum and dad. And I didn't have the phone on at my place. I had to use a public phone. I didn't have any coins. So I went into the milk bar and got some change so I could make the phone call. And a workmate of mine happened to be driving past at the same time, saw me coming out of the milk bar. He jumped to conclusions, didn't he? Because the very next week at work, the subject came up. And he mentioned the fact, oh, yeah, I saw you coming out of the milk bar. And I said, yes, but do you know why? Well, no, not really. We can all jump to conclusions, can't we? I'm also reminded of the story I read some time ago. It's a brilliant story of a minister in America who worked and lived in an area that was very heavily populated with members of like faith, Adventists. His wife was away and somehow he got muddled up on what day it was. So on the Sabbath morning he got up, put on his work clothes, went out and he started mowing the lawn. With a nice sunny day, why not? His neighbours drove past, who were also Adventists, saw him mowing the lawn, didn't say anything. And he kind of wondered, you know, why are they so all dressed up today for? Where are they going off to? He was just finishing off the lawn, very content and happy with himself, what he had done, when his wife drove into the driveway and said, what on earth are you doing mowing the lawn today? When he realised it was Sabbath. Very quickly he got changed, feeling very embarrassed. And he waited for his neighbour to arrive home, and he very quickly went to his neighbour and said, well, I hope you didn't tell anyone. He said, no, I kind of figured there'd have to be a reason behind it. So I kept quiet. See? It's amazing how much gossip can be avoided when we keep quiet and not judge. Before we have the facts. Good friend to have, isn't it? one who was willing, prepared to keep his mouth shut, thinking, there's got to be an explanation behind this somewhere. See, it brings home the point that we can never be too careful, that we need to be sure of the facts and to know what they really are before they talk. Romans 14, come with me there. Romans 14. This brings home the point about not judging, how we can be quick to judge. In verse 3 it says, let him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God has received him. God knows the whole situation. God understands perfectly well how each person ticks and the way they behave and why. James 4, come with me there. James 4. James 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a lawdoer of the law, but a judge. There was one lawgiver, verse 12, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? And one lawgiver. One lawgiver, and that person alone has the right to be judge. And that person is God. How often we fall into the trap of thinking, believing that we can do God's work, but we cannot. Only God is God. Only God is God. Matthew chapter 7, come back there. And verse 2 reads, for with what judgments ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. After starting out with a general view of the subject, we now start to go into more detail. And the point of verse 1 is now being expanded. And here the point is made that how you see the world is how the world will see you. How you treat those that you come into contact with is how they will see and treat you. And you know, this begs the question, do you look upon others with love? As you look to others, do you look for the good? Are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to give people a second chance? Or dare we ask the question, are you willing to give them even the first chance? And you know, when you think about it, what we're reading here is not so much a question of theology, but rather it's a question of practical Christian living. What can the world see in you that is special? And you know, I remind us that what we say or do is heard from the one who made us all. God sees you. He knows what you are thinking every step of the way. He has a very intimate knowledge, just of you. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure as ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again. Simple. Simple statement of how to live. The more you are willing to give, the more you shall receive. How you treat others is how they will treat you. You know, it's such a very simple, basic aspect of living. The way we treat others. Respect. And yet it's amazing how many there are in the world who fail to get that very simple point. And because they fail in that very simple point, they end up in a big mess. How often we hear people saying, it's all too hard. It's all too hard. But the reality is so different. It's just a case of being able to see things in that different light, God's light, and to do the right thing. Let us remember, this is not just about how we treat those about us, around us, but also deals with how do we treat God. You may wonder, what on earth am I getting at with that? It's like coming to church on time. Do we take the time to stop and to talk to Him each day? Do we honour Him with our tithes and our offerings? Do we give Him the respect and glory that is due to His name? But it's all too hard, they cry. But is it hard when you think of what is at stake? Matthew chapter 7. And verses 3 to 5 says, but why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Here is the point that we all can know something about at times. You see, we're all very good at seeing the problem in others, aren't we? We can all see what they should be doing. But why is it they're not listening to me? After all, I know the answers, don't I? I see what has to be done. In fact, the problems of the world could all be solved very easily if only I could have my say. Ever heard others say that? Maybe we've said it ourselves. But the point is, before we can tell others what to do, how we need to clean up our act first. Think about it. Well, you'd rather take the splinter out of someone else or have someone else take the splinter out of you? I remember a few years ago I had to go to the hospital to outpatients because a splinter got into my finger, and no matter what I did, it was going deeper rather than coming out. It hurt. It hurt. Of course, if it was someone else's finger, it would have been fine because it was their pain and not mine. But it was my finger and it was my pain and it hurt. And you know, this applies to this passage as well. It hurts when we have to have correction. It hurts when we are the ones that have to learn. Take the mote out of your own eye is the command that is given. Take the beam out. But it hurts. But then if we do remove the beam, then we might see things a little bit more clearly. To appreciate what is really happening. To appreciate more objectively what is happening. And if there's things that need to be done, then perhaps we can do it with greater sensitivity. How easy it is to jump to conclusions. I remember going for a walk Blackwood Avenue one day at Warburton. Blackwood Avenue. And as I was walking along this day, this two or three people were having, it was a Sabbath afternoon, they were having trouble getting a horse into a horse float. And the horse was not going to go in that horse float. Not in your life. And what they were desperately needing was a little ramp. And fortunately, as I was walking by, I knew an Adventist couple who lived on that road, and they had a small ramp. And I said to them, I reckon if you go to this person, he'll let you get your horse up the horse ramp. So I went and asked the individuals concerned, yeah, not a problem. He did. And I was telling someone else about it later, and I said, well, you shouldn't have helped. I said, why? The Sabbath. I said, hang on a minute. God did good on the Sabbath, did he not? You help. We need to be willing to be kind. Luke 11. If we are going to become the people that God wants us to be, how do we get this? Luke 11. Verses 9 and 10 says, and I say unto you, ask, it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. In looking at these verses, we can ask the question, but hang on a minute, where is the focus here? What are we doing? The answer is very simple. The answer being that we are looking to Christ. We are seeking him. We are knocking. We are asking for him to come to abide in our lives. We are seeking him to be a part of us. We are knocking on the door that he is willing to open. But you see, there's still more to the question. John 15. John 15. John 15. John 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, the other branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, as we abide in Jesus, we will begin to see a change in our lives. As we abide in Jesus, we will start to reflect him more and more to others. As Jesus abides in us, all the more, then with the passing of time, we will see more and more of the fruits of Jesus, the fruits that Jesus would want to grow in us. Fruit, you say? What fruit? What fruit? Galatians 5. In verses 22 and 23 we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Here we are given an outline of what the fruits are all about. And when you look at them, the challenge for us all is how that we need to do a lot better, maybe, than what we are doing. Sure, we may have some of these fruits, some of the time, but to have all of them all the time, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. But then we read a little bit further. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What a change. Here is the challenge that is given. That we be faithful in living up to all we know. That we do have Jesus living in us, and that we are faithful to him in all that we say and do. What we see being portrayed here is a change in our attitude in the way we see others and the way we live. With the end result being that we will come to reflect Jesus more and more. And in the process, there will be less of ourselves. And you know something else? With more and more of Jesus and less of ourselves, we will be less likely to judge and to point the finger of what we think others are doing. We will be looking for the good instead of seeing the bad and sharing that with any who will listen. So I guess, before we judge, before we condemn, let us ask the question this day of ourselves, is Jesus living in me? Is Jesus in my heart? And is his life being reflected in me day by day? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, may we leave with a determination to have Jesus abiding in our hearts, that we can reflect him better to those who we meet. Go with us now for this week, we pray. By your Spirit we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.